A volley of scarlet blaster bolts sent the armored guards tumbling back down the hallway. One laser carbine came spinning across the floor to trip Voru up. From the ground, he had a narrow view of the hangar and the cloaked forms of two of Isard's royal guardsmen walking towards his shuttle. "Isard's using my shuttle to escape," Voru realized. He snatched up the blaster that had tripped him, then sprinted into the hangar. At point-blank range, he shot both of the men, then dove for cover as the shuttle's laser cannon sprayed the hangar with bolts. He felt the hot backblast of the shuttle's maneuvering jets as it lifted off, then emptied the blaster's power cell by pumping shot after shot into the vanishing shuttle's shields. As Corrin's X-Wing raced in on the Lusankia, the Super Star Destroyer began to roll. "Lead, what do we do?" Wedge responded.
"Stay on target. We can hit the guns from below. Commence weave 30 seconds to firing position."
Corrin rolled his fighter to starboard, opening up some room between himself and Uro. He weaved the X-Wing in a spiral, making it all but impossible for the Lusankia's gunners to get a good shot at him. The void was filled with laser fire as crews tried in vain to target the incoming snub fighters. Corrin studied the bases of the cones, mentally recording the location of each battery. He shifted his weapons control to proton torpedoes and linked them for dual fire. "Nine has double lock. I'm firing."
"Launch, Nine. Then get clear."
"As ordered, lead." Corrin pulled the trigger and watched two proton torpedoes streak away to their target. "Pull the Lusankia's fangs and hope we don't get gummed to death on the way out." Drisso stared down at his aide.
"How many incoming torpedo tracks, Lieutenant Warrowin?"
20, sir. Two per X-Wing. Survivable, Drisso thought. "Wait, sir. I have 24.
"No matter."
"Now I have 40. No, 80. 80.
Drisso's jaw dropped as he saw a Nova flare blossom up over the horizon of his starboard bow. The shields held for a second, then collapsed. Warning sirens started shrieking on the bridge as multiple torpedo and missile hits exploded on the ship's bow. Drisso watched as salvos of red turbo laser bolts from the Freedom savaged the Lusankia's unprotected bow. Over 100 starboard ion cannons fired back at the Freedom in a display so massive it appeared as if sheets of blue energy had erupted from the Lusankia's side. The Imperial Star Destroyer's shields imploded, and azure lightning skipped over the ship's surface. Guns reported,
"Captain, I've lost 15% of starboard firepower."
"Thank you, Guns. Lieutenant Warrowin, where did those missiles come from?"
"The freighters, sir. They're launching missiles that appear to be using the fighter telemetry to target us."
Warrowin glanced at his monitors.
"Sir, I can re-establish the bow shield, but it will lower our protection elsewhere."
"Do it, Warrowin."
"Guns, forget the Freedom. Kill the freighters."
Drisso clasped his hands at the small of his back.
"The freighters are our main threat now. Kill them, and this battle is over."
Tycho Selku cruised in on the tail of a TIE fighter and pulled the trigger. Two bursts of dual-fire lasers shot out, stabbing deep into the engine assembly. The TIE started a crazy tumble through space, and suddenly Tycho found himself clear to run on the Lusankia.
"You with me, Eight?"
"With you, Seven,"
answered Narrowa then. Tycho picked a spot that burned in places where the ship leaked atmosphere.
"Double lock for Seven. Two away."
He pulled the trigger, sending two proton torpedoes streaking on jets of blue flame. From all around the big ship, other blue lights suddenly ignited and began to cruise toward the point Tycho had targeted. From the very beginning of their operations, Wedge and Tycho had agreed that the only way they could defeat the Lusankia was to overwhelm it with proton torpedoes and concussion missiles. The problem was that to do the job correctly, they would require 12 or more X-Wing squadrons, squadrons they didn't have. Taking a lesson from the conquest of Coruscant, they decided that freighters equipped with launchers and missiles would give them the launching platforms they needed.
By slaving the freighter's missiles to the X-wing telemetry, they eliminated the need for target acquisition sensors on the freighters, the use of which would have immediately designated the freighters as targets for the Lusankya. To prevent anyone from figuring out their strategy, Wedge had Booster buy launchers, munitions, and sensor units from Talon Card. Reluctant to buy something and not use it, Booster hooked the sensors up to the station, noting that just lighting them up would be enough to make even the Lusankya think twice about engaging the station. As their plans evolved, Booster agreed to stay behind and make the Lusankya think it had been trapped, while the rogues left the system, rendezvoused with Ser Yonka's freedom, and rode the rest of the way in relative comfort to Typhara. The freighters moved on in to set up the ambush, while the Freedom waited at the fringes of the system for the arrival of the Lusankya. Tycho's missiles exploded against the ship's shields, but they buckled quickly as the rest of the missiles that were locked into his telemetry hit the ship. Other rogues continued the assault on the ship's starboard gun decks. Toward the other end of the Superstar Destroyer, the Alderaanian warcruiser Valiant poured fire into the Lusankya. Tycho notified Wedge. Lead, Seven is set for one more run.
Negative, Seven. The squids have picked up a lamb and are running it clear of here. You and Nine with your wings are to pursue.
Tycho's astromech flashed a quick scan of the shuttle onto his monitor. Shuttle is positive for one life form. You think that's Isard?
Like as not. Go, Tycho, go!
Tracking Voru by the holocams he shot out, Ayela, Elskol, and their people closed in on a long corridor. Two Ashern Vratiks had taken up positions on either side of the only door in the hallway. They indicated it was locked. Elskol and Ayela went running down the hall and crouched, preparing to branch to either side. Ayela started to signal to Elskol to check her end of the corridor first, but she saw movement back the way she had come. The duroplast door exploded into the hallway as blaster fire chewed it in half. Both Vratiks stationed by the door went down. Two of Elskol's people stationed at the far end of the corridor rushed the doorway. The second man straightened up abruptly, then flew back into the corridor, burning from a trio of shots to the chest. Ayela saw only booted feet that jerked, then lay still. Smoke drifted out of the doorway. Then a blaster carbine came sailing out of it and clattered to the floor in the midst of the dead commandos.
I give up!
Ayela and Elskol exchanged glances, then Ayela snapped a command. Come out with your hands in the air!
Do I recognize that voice?
Ayela's voice dropped.
Voru?
I'm expecting those hands raised. Voru appeared in the doorway and gingerly stepped between the legs lying there.
Ah, Ayela Wasiri, someone I can trust to do the right thing.
Elskol leveled her blaster carbine at Voru.
You want the right thing? I have justice in a clip right here for you.
Ayela laid a hand on Elskol's carbine.
You can't. He just surrendered.
Surrendered? He just burned down four people.
More crimes for him to be tried for.
Exactly.
Voru smiled smugly.
I'm sure the people of Typhara will want to try me, if the New Republic will let them.
His hand slipped down to the level of his shoulders.
Of course, since I know which New Republic officials have been hoarding Bacta, well, I suspect this is information they won't want to come to light.
Ayela laughed.
You think you're not going to pay for your crimes because you'll make some political deal?
Alas, Ayela, that is the reality of the situation.
Ayela laughed.
You're assuming, of course, that I don't have my own brand of justice in mind. I wanted Isard because she killed my husband. If I can't have her, you'll do.
She raised her carbine and pointed it at his head.
One shot, and a lot of crime files are closed.
Voru applauded her. Nice bluff, but I've read the files on you, my dear. You could never shoot me.
True.
Ayela lowered her blaster.
But she can.
Elskol's single shot caught Voru in the throat. It
pitched him against the door jamb, from which he rebounded and fell on top of his blaster. Ayala nodded approvingly.
Nice shooting.
Elskal looked down at her blaster.
I don't remember setting this weapon on stun.
Ayala smiled.
I do. Why only stun him? Why the charade?
Voru likes being in control. He was expecting you to burn him down. It would have been his victory, because you would have killed a man who had surrendered, and that would make you as much a murderer as he is. Once he realized I was here, he decided to play another game. He was in control until the last second, when I let you shoot him.
Elskal nodded, then snapped her carbine off stun.
What he said, though, about paying for his crimes is probably true. The New Republic will make a deal with him.
Sure,
if they get a chance.
Ayala smiled.
The rogues pulled him off Kessel. We can always dump him back there.
No deals, only justice.
Elskal laughed.
You know, you keep this up and you might convince me there's more to do with unreconstructed Imperials than kill them.
Let's work on it, Elskal. But only after Typhara is free.
Wedge saw the Freedom roll as turbo laser fire lanced from the Usankia at the freighters. One salvo caught a disc-shaped Corellian light freighter and snapped it in half.
Lead to two. Time for our last run.
Acer responded,
Negative, lead. I have a tie on me.
Coming, two.
Wedge brought his fighter into a loop, then rolled as Acer's X-Wing shot past. A tie streaked by, hot on her tail. Something at the back of her fighter exploded. Then she rolled out of sight.
Two, report.
Acer didn't answer his call.
Now's not the time to mourn the dead, Wedge told himself. That waits until the mission is done.
Wedge brought his fighter around and found himself staring at the broad expanse of the Lusankia's belly. Nearly an eighth of the ship had been nibbled off at the front, but the gun still fired relentlessly.
Lead here! Starting my third run!
Weaving his fighter, he pointed it at the giant egress hatch at the bottom of the Superstar Destroyer. Switching over to proton torpedoes, he pulled the trigger. Two jets of blue fire shot away from his ship, and another half-dozen joined them. It took four of them to blast a hole in the ventral shield, but that left a quartet of missiles to plow into the Lusankia's hangar deck. Secondary explosion told Wedge that at least a couple of the fuel storage tanks had ruptured.
Yes, Madam Director, I understand.
Irisi shivered as the echoes of Isard's voice died in her ears. When she'd spotted the shuttle coming up, she had harbored a hope that it was Voru coming to take her away. But Isard's voice dashed that dream to pieces. Irisi switched her comm unit over to her squadron's tactical frequency.
Elite leader to squadron, we have a new mission. Protect the shuttle Typhonian until it goes to light speed.
Six here, lead. That means we'll be left behind.
Negative, Six. The Lusankia is going to be following Typhonian out and will pick us up.
12 here, lead. We have four X-Wings coming up fast.
I copy, 12.
Irisi shook her head. Only four, she thought. That's a mistake. You'll rue, Wedge Antilles.
Captain Drizzo laughed victoriously. His Lusankia had been hit by over 150 proton torpedoes and concussion missiles, but it had lost scarcely 35% of its combat ability. Lieutenant Warowen called out to him,
Captain, the Freedom is coming back into the fight.
Guns! Let him have everything!
The Lusankia fired its starboard weapons at the Imperial Star Destroyer, mauling it mercilessly.
Yet even before the Lusankia's attack left the Freedom adrift in space, the Imperial Star Destroyer blasted back.
Turbo lasers drilled through the dorsal shields and stabbed fire deep into the Lusankia's heart.
Captain,
yelled the communications officer,
I have a priority message from Director Isard. She's ordering us to follow the shuttle. She said you should get out of here before you get killed.
Killed?
Drizzo's laugh quieted the bridge.
We are winning here. The Freedom is dead. That war cruiser is next, and we've weathered the worst those X-Wings can throw at us. She can run if she wants, but the Lusankia stays here. I will take her place and reap what she has sown.
The crew stared at him gape-mouthed and silent for a moment. Then a cheer spread through the bridge. Drizzo thought they were cheering him, but those nearest the viewport stared past him, prompting him to turn. Hovering off the Lusankia's port bow was the Virulence.
Drizzo clapped his hands together. It's the Virulence, and they have our TIE squadrons. Order Virulence to deploy its fighters. Now nothing stands between us and total victory.
Wedge's heart had sunk when his droid reported the launching of the Virulence's fighters. He brought his X-Wing around and resigned himself to one last glorious battle.
I always figured Rogue's squadron would go out in a blaze of glory, and this looks like it, he thought.
Then Wedge glanced down at his monitor.
That's an A-Wing. Where did Isar get A-Wings?
He wondered. A familiar voice crackled through Wedge's comm unit.
Ace leader to rogue leader. Mind if we crash your party, Wedge?
Hash, Kraken. Where in the Emperor's dark heart did you come from?
Booster's flagship. The gravity well pulled my unit out of hyperspace right on top of Virulence during their little standoff. Booster talked the captain into believing it was all part of a trap, so she surrendered the ship to him.
The Lusank is all yours, Captain Kraken.
Obliged, Wedge. We're going in.
Wedge reoriented his X-Wing toward the Lusankia as the Virulence fired a full broadside into the Superstar Destroyer. A violent tremor shook the Lusankia, snapping free a blackened chunk of the bow. Fast and nimble, Pash's A-Wing slashed in, flitting over the massive ship's surface, shooting concussion missiles at gunnery towers and sensor domes. What few weapons did remain on the Lusankia fired ineffectively at the A-Wings.
Rogue Lee, this is 3. We're going in for a strafing run.
I copy, Govan.
Wedge glanced at his monitors, but the only TIEs he saw were the ones escorting the shuttle.
Can't catch them now, he thought,
then keyed his comm.
If you don't mind, 3, I think I'll join you.
Closing with the squints, Corrin switched to lasers and linked them for dual fire. Whistler, scan comm frequencies and bring up whatever one they're using. He picked one of the squints in the middle of the formation as a target and hit his trigger. 2 sets of bolts skewered the squint's ball cockpit.
Scratch 1 squint, he shouted.
Whistler keened at him, so Corrin punched a previously unlit button on his comm unit.
Hope that wasn't you, Irisi. I'd hate to think your flying skill had atrophied so much.
It's my killing skill that should concern you, Corrin.
Then he heard Naro FN.
8 here. I've got a pair on my tail.
Tycho responded.
7 on the way. 8, hold tight.
Corrin rolled and came out in a loop. 2 TIEs were lining up for a run on Nawara's X-Wing. Tycho pulled a tight turn that brought him around quickly, but he only managed to pick off the trailing TIE. Nawara broke hard to port, then twisted back again to starboard, but the squint stayed with him throughout his maneuvers.
That's got to be Irisi, Corrin thought.
The interceptor fired 4 times, burning through Nawara's aft shield and hitting the fuselage right behind the cockpit. When fire filled the cockpit, Corrin feared for the worst. Then he saw the X-Wing's command couch jet out from the stricken fighter.
8 is extravehicular,
Corrin's eyes narrowed.
10, keep them off him. I'm going after Irisi.
Is that you on my tail, Corrin? I thought you'd learned from your father that dying alone wasn't something to do.
That should be your concern, Irisi, because I'm not dying here. Horn out.
Corrin's X-Wing streaked in on Irisi's trail, but the squint juked and danced, making it impossible for him to get a good shot at her. As she broke to port,
Corin rolled out into a long starboard loop, watching his monitor. When the distance between him and Elise hit 3 kilometers, he tightened his loop and headed straight for her. Her hastily snapped shots splashed harmlessly over his forward shields. Corin fired back, catching her squint on the port wing. Corin switched back to lasers, then drained energy from his aft shield and fed it into his engine so as to close the gap between their ships. As the missiles approached, Erisi broke hard toward Typhira's largest moon, following a glide path that followed the rough terrain of the lunar surface. One torpedo, unable to fight inertia and lunar gravity, both slammed into the moon and exploded. The second sailed through the gout of lunar dust and started closing with the interceptor. Erisi bounced her squint up and over a ridge line and back down again, interposing it between her and the torpedo. The ridge shielded her from the torpedo's blast. It also blinded her aft sensors to Corin's presence. As Erisi pulled her squint up to climb away from the moon's surface, Corin came up over the ridge and pounced. Pairs of scarlet bolts burned into the squint, shredding both solar panels. As the stabilizers disintegrated, the interceptor's loop became a dive that brought it on a collision course with the moon. It plowed into the lunar surface, gouging out a huge furrow. Corin circled the spot once. No explosion, nothing spectacular. Erisi would have hated it. He pulled his X-Wing away from the moon. Find me that shuttle, Whistler. Another salvo from the Virulence ripped into the Lusankia as Wedge swooped low over the Superstar Destroyer and peppered its hull with laser bolts. The Lusankia tried to defend itself, but the surface-mounted turbolaser cannons simply made themselves targets for strafing runs by X-Wings, A-Wings, Twi'lekitcher Daki, and the Gans' bulky ships. What shots the Superstar Destroyer did get off at the Virulence failed to penetrate the shields. Wedge pulled up and flashed past the bridge. Much more of this hammering and the ship could begin to break up, and that would jeopardize the prisoners we want to rescue, he thought. He got an open comm channel to the Lusankia.
This is Commander Wedge Antilles to the captain of the Lusankia. We'll accept your surrender at any time.
This is Captain Joak Drisso. No, Admiral Drisso of the Lusankia. We will never give up.
Captain...
How dare you insult me?
Admiral, then. Even Grand Admiral, if it'll make you see sense. Your shields are down. Your engines are hit. You have no fighter cover. You can't hurt your opposition.
Wedge let his damage assessment sink in.
It's hopeless. We'll treat your people with all due respect. Surrender.
Never. We are loyal sons of the Empire. We are not afraid to put death before dishonor. Helm! Give me all speed. We're going to ram the planet. There, Antilles. See? A Grand Admiral never...
Drisso.
Captain Drisso isn't here anymore, sir. This is Acting Captain Warroen.
Are you going to crash your ship into the planet, Warroen?
Not if I can help it, sir. If you could get the war cruiser to stop shooting my engines... And if Virulence will pull us a bit further out into orbit so we don't crash of our own accord, we'll accept any conditions for surrender you want to offer us.
Corin found the fleeing shuttle easily enough and brought his X-Wing in on its aft. Whistler, see if you can open a comm channel to the shuttle. Corin fired his lasers across the Typhonian's flight path. Then Whistler announced he'd found the shuttle's frequencies. This is Corin Horn to Shuttle Typhonium. Stop now and turn back to Typhira, or I'll be forced to destroy you. A moment's delay ended with a voice Corin had never expected to hear again.
I should have known it would be you, Horn. Go away. You can't stop me with your lasers.
Maybe this will warm your heart, Isene. Corin pulled the trigger. Bursts of laser fire splashed against the spacecraft's shields, but did not penetrate them. What?
Shuttle shields aren't that good, she thought.
You can thank Flirivoro for me, if he's still alive. He ordered heavy-capacity shield generators for his shuttle.
Corrin shifted his comm unit over to the squadron's tactical frequency. Nine could use some help here. It's ice hard. I can't get through the shuttle's shields.
Seven here, Nine. Coming as fast as I can. Keep her from jumping to light speed.
Corrin brought the X-Wing around in a loop that would give him an oblique shot at the shuttle's port side. As he sailed in, the shuttle shifted direction and came about to face him. Corrin hit his trigger and pulsed energy into the shuttle's shields. The shuttle fired back. Green energy darts blew through the X-Wing's forward shield. Corrin dove, then came back up in a weave that took him in behind the shuttle. Whistler, what just happened? Izard's voice crackled over the comm channel.
Did I mention that Voru also upgraded the lasers on this ship?
I'll give you an upgrade, Iceheart, Corrin snarled as he looked at the diagnostics listing Whistler scrolled up. He winced, then looked to his port S-foil. Where once there had been a pair of laser cannons, he had melted metal. He flipped his weapons control over to proton torpedoes. Whistler began to beep as he tried for a firing solution. Yes, he supplied the shuttle with a missile targeting lock warning system, Corrin thought. Only good thing you've done in your black life, Voru. So, your shields won't stop a proton torpedo, eh, Iceheart?
You'll find out if you ever get a lock on me, Horn.
Corrin saw Tycho's X-Wing closing slowly. As long as you keep dancing, Iceheart, you can't run up to light speed, he thought. He painted her with a target lock again, but allowed her to break it. He reacquired it. You can't escape me, Iceheart.
I've stopped trying, Horn. You're bluffing. If you had torpedoes, you would have used them already.
The shuttle leveled out and prepared for the run to light speed. I can't let her get away, Corrin thought as he punched his comm unit. His mind reeled. My lasers can't get through her shields, and I don't have any missiles to batter them down. There's nothing I can do, nothing. Wait, maybe there's something. Quick, Whistler, transfer all power to the forward shield. Corrin reached for the throttle. Hang on, we're going to ram her. Before Corrin could jam the throttle full forward, two blue darts streaked past either side of his cockpit. The first exploded against the shuttle's aft shield and collapsed it. The second drilled through the engine housing, skewing the ship to port. The proton torpedo detonated inside the shuttle's fuselage. Corrin saw the ship puff up and out before fire lanced out the cockpit viewports. Then, a golden fireball ripped it apart from the inside out. Corrin's X-Wing passed straight through the center of the explosion. And by the time he brought his ship around, the sparks from debris hitting his shields were the only indication that the shuttle had been there at all. Corrin keyed his comm unit. Who did that?
Seven here, Nine. Thanks for giving me the target lock.
What? Corrin glanced at the transponder switch and saw it was lit. When I punched the console, I must have hit it by accident, he realized. The image of Luke Skywalker came to mind. He'd tell me that wasn't an accident, wasn't luck, just the Force. Corrin shook his head. I prefer to believe it was justice. Tycho's X-Wing came into view as Corrin headed his X-Wing back toward Typhira. I don't see any more squints, Tycho. You got a workout.
I got my share, but Ten vaped the bulk of them. He accounted for 6 interceptors all by himself. And it looks like the Lusankia isn't shooting anymore.
Corrin smiled. A tyrant dead, a traitor dead, a superstar destroyer dead, and if Elskol, Ayella, and the Ashern have done their jobs, a planet liberated. Not a bad day at all.
Looks different, doesn't it, Corrin, when you're walking on the ceiling?
Yeah, Corrin said to Tycho, but not any better.
Despite the lights strung throughout the Lusankia's prisoners' quarters, the Warren's rough-hewn walls still pressed in on Corrin. When they had been imprisoned there, gravity generators had made what was really the top of the place seem like the bottom. He turned toward Tycho as he climbed over the low wall into what had been Jan Dodona's cell. It's very strange to have mounted this whole operation to try to get Jan and the other prisoners out, just to find Isard had them shipped out by shuttle months ago. She must have known we'd win, so she did this to frustrate us. You've got it all wrong, my friend, Tycho patted Corin's shoulder. When you escaped, you ruined it for her. She decided to scrap the whole facility. And it's just as well, because this section of the ship lost atmosphere. Everyone would have died in here. I'm still for finding them. You with me? Corin asked. Tycho nodded thoughtfully. I am, though I think we're going to have some stiff competition. One of the first repair crews in this area was a forensic team from Alliance Intelligence. They're supposed to have swept this place, pulling fingerprints, hair, and tissue samples. I gather they were able to confirm the identities of some of the prisoners. Corin smiled. Which is why General Aaron Kraken showed up. The New Republic is going to hunt for the prisoners? That would be my guess. Great. They can race us.
Ah, there you are, Corin. Urul filled the entryway. I thought I could find you here.
Corin stared at the Gand. Urul? I thought Gans didn't use personal pronouns unless... The Gand's fist clicked off his chest.
The Ruitsavi. They have declared me Janwuain. They have returned to Gand to tell Urul's... my story. What we did here, Urul's part in the taking of Coruscant and the battles against Isehart, these will become known to all the Gand. If Urul says I, they will know to whom I refer.
That's great, Urul. Tycho extended his hand to the Gand. Urul continued modestly.
And, Corin, General Kraken has asked to speak with you.
Alone with General Aaron Kraken, Corin asked, What can I do for you, sir?
I need you to talk some sense to Booster Terek, the elder Kraken said.
Corin immediately raised his hands. Got a Death Star you want killed instead?
Close, Kraken shook his head. Booster wants to keep the virulence. Mirax suggested I get you up here.
Corin laughed. Okay, but I don't know what I can do. Kraken opened the door to the ready room and allowed Corin to precede him in. Booster sat at the far end of an oval table, with Mirax seated on his right and another man on his left. Corin went over to Mirax's side of the table and gave her a kiss on the cheek. Booster, you're looking fit.
Captaining a starship agrees with me.
Corin extended a hand across the table to the other man. Talon Card, I presume. Pleased to make your acquaintance. Booster looked up at Kraken, then jerked a thumb at Corin.
Did you think he could convince me to give up my ship?
Kraken explained.
Booster, I just thought Lieutenant Horn could supply you with some perspective on why you're not going to be able to keep the virulence. The New Republic has to consider any star destroyers that are not under its control or that of its allies to be an immediate threat to stability.
Fine, General, fine. I'll just take the virulence, conquer some planet with it, and have the planet become one of the New Republic's allies.
Mirax shook her head. That's pretty much what they're afraid of, Father.
The virulence is mine. She was surrendered to me.
Kraken pressed his hands flat against the tabletop.
But only after 3 squadrons of New Republic A-wings appeared in the Yagdul system, giving Captain Varsha the impression she was trapped by New Republic forces.
Corin looked at Booster and shook his head. You tricked Varsha into believing the rogues were part of the New Republic? Not bad, Booster. Mirax's father smiled proudly.
She was looking for any excuse to get out of trouble. I just used the one she gave me.
Corin winced. Unfortunately, that means you've given the New Republic a claim on the virulence.
What?
Mirax tell him. It's the same as a partnership for salvaging hulks. Just because one partner is ceded ownership, he doesn't own it. The partnership does.
Corin's right, Father.
Kraken nodded.
We will justly compensate you for it, of course, and you'll earn our undying gratitude, even a pardon for any indiscretions you might have committed.
You can stop there, General. Unless you want to give me back the 5 years I spent on Kessel, I'm not interested in any judicial rewards. How much?
General Kraken hesitated.
The current situation is such that an immediate payment is out of the question, but I think we could compensate you with 5 million credits.
Ha! This is an Imperial Star Destroyer Mark II we're talking about. It doesn't have a scratch on it. I'll settle for 1 billion credits, or I'm flying it out of here.
The sum seemed to stagger Kraken for a moment, then Card spoke.
Booster, be reasonable. Try 20% of that.
Booster stared at him.
You're being very generous with my money, Card.
Corin raised his hand. It just struck me that we might be arguing about the wrong thing here. Booster, how serious are you about making the Virulence into a hyperspace-capable smuggler's den?
Very. It would be nice to own a place where the cargo came to me and I just brokered deals for it. The Virulence would do nicely in that regard.
Corin smiled. So would the Freedom.
No!
Booster and Kraken dismissed the idea at the same time. They exchanged surprised glances, then shook their heads. Booster began,
I don't want the Freedom. Refitting it will take a lifetime. Stick to flying, Horn, because that idea was really dumb.
Murak slapped her father on the arm. Don't speak to my fiancé like that.
What?
Booster's jaw dropped. Corin raised an eyebrow. Murax, I'm not sure this was the best time...
Booster pointed at Kraken.
He wants to take away my ship.
He pointed to Corin.
And he wants to take away my daughter.
He turned to Card.
I suppose you want something of mine, too.
Perhaps, Booster. Card smiled genially. I want you to reconsider what Lieutenant Horn suggested. It strikes me that General Kraken is primarily concerned with your being in command of a ship with enough firepower to slag an inhabited world.
Succinctly put, Card.
Thank you, General.
Card looked at Booster.
You're concerned that your ship will fall prey to all sorts of pirates if they take its weaponry away. Even stripped of weapons, a hulk like the Freedom would be quite a prize.
Booster nodded slowly.
You're talking sense. Card, that scares me.
Booster and I agree on something.
Corin narrowed his eyes at Card. Where's this going?
You know the law, Lieutenant. A ship the size of the Virulence in private ownership would be allowed to lawfully carry how much in the way of weaponry?
Corin sat back. Something on the order of 2 tractor beams, 10 ion cannons, and 10 heavy turbolaser batteries.
Exactly. Which leaves an arsenal to be pulled off the Virulence. General Kraken, those weapons would pretty much replace what the Freedom lost here, wouldn't they?
With that, Card proceeded to broker a deal between General Kraken and Booster Terek. Card sat back in his seat.
The weaponry will be pulled off the Virulence. Booster, I'll buy the military-grade hardware you've been collecting at Yug-Duel for $18 million, if you'll also sell me 4 squadrons of TIE fighters. And the price to you, General, is $35 million. But you'll find I issue credit easily. Booster, you get your ship, and General, you get weapons out of his hands and into yours.
They shook hands. General Kraken left the room. Then Booster stood and turned to Murax.
Now, my dear, we're going to discuss this engagement of yours. My daughter isn't going to marry anyone from Corsac, period.
Corin looked over at Card. You want to help me out here?
Do you think you could afford my help, Lieutenant?
Probably not. Card nodded solemnly.
Definitely not. Fortunately for you, however, now Booster has to pay for my help. We need to head over to Booster's new ship and pull specs on the weapons.
Booster frowned.
No?
Unless you want Kraken to do it first and leave you with the weapons most likely to break down.
Yes, Father. Murex kissed him on the cheek. See you in 2 hours at Wedge's party.
The 2 smugglers exited the ready room, leaving Corin and Murax alone. Corin shook his head.
How far away from here can we get in 2 hours?
Not far enough, I'm afraid. She took his hands in hers. However, I think I know a way to deflect him.
Wedge waited until everyone was seated in the Lusankia staff officer's mess before he stepped behind the podium. He smiled as he faced the motley gathering. There were his pilots, Captain Ser Yanka of the Freedom, General Kraken and his son Pash, Booster Terek and Talon Card, Ayela Wasiri, Elskal Loro, Sixtus Quinn, and a handful of Ashen he didn't know, and several Vratix officials from Typhara. Wedge held his hands up to quiet everyone.
I want to keep my remarks as brief as possible. I have some business to transact first, though.
He nodded at Aesir Selar.
As you can tell, Aesir is doing well after spending some time in a Bacta tank. Unfortunately, Nawara's leg was hurt so badly that not even Bacta could help it. It had to be amputated. The mechanical replacement won't allow Nawara to keep flying with us, but he'll remain with the unit as our new executive officer.
Wedge looked over toward General Kraken.
General Kraken has told me of a resolution voted by the Provisional Council that congratulates us on what we've accomplished here. He also said that due to a bureaucratic mix-up, our resignations were never formally logged to our files. If we want them, our commissions are available to us. And General Kraken has assured me that he's looking for an elite unit to follow up on investigative leads concerning the lost Lusankia prisoners. Once our work is done here, I intend to rejoin the New Republic, and I'd like to bring Rogue Squadron back with me.
One by one, Wedge canvassed the pilots. Unanimously, the decision was yes. They wanted to return to the Rogue Squadron unit of the New Republic. Wedge swallowed against the lump rising in his throat.
Two more things. First, we've been invited to Gand for Ural's Janwu Ain Jika. This is a huge honor for one of us who has earned many honors. Second, and equally worthy of celebration, is something I did barely a half an hour ago. The Lusankia was surrendered to me, making me its de facto captain. In my capacity as such, with Tycho and Ayela present as witnesses, I had the pleasure of marrying Mirax and Corin.
What?
Booster shouted, his face reddening. Wedge held his hands up.
Take it easy, Booster. They plan a more formal ceremony we can all attend back on Coruscant. But they figured that if you were going to be upset with them for getting engaged, they might as well save themselves that aggravation and just have you mad at them for being married.
I'm not upset about that, Wedge. I was upset when I thought she was marrying someone from Corsac.
Mirax's father smiled.
Now he's part of Rogue Squadron again. So I have no complaints.
Corin frowned at his father-in-law. Then the red in your face wasn't because of us?
You Corsac people always think it's about you.
Booster jerked a thumb at Card.
He bet me 1,000,000 credits that you'd go and do exactly what you did. And he even conned me into giving him odds.
Wedge laughed.
Corin, Mirax, I think that's going to be a major bone of contention for the future.
One he's going to worry like a hungry neck.
Corin brought Mirax's hand to his mouth and kissed it.
Not too steep a price to pay, though. Serves him right for betting against us, Mirax snickered.
Even Booster joined the laughter. To Wedge, the sound was a tonic. In all the time I've been with Rogue Squadron, there has been too little laughter and too many tears, he thought, emotion rising.
It was about 1.5 years ago that I first met most of you. You were bright-eyed and enthusiastic, ready to launch into one grand adventure after another. I had seen that before with other pilots in Rogue Squadron. I remember the days before Yavin, when we were all young, armored with the invincibility of youth, and fired by the belief that the Emperor's evil empire could not win. It didn't, but the cost was more horrible than any of us could have imagined.
Maybe nothing we've done, including the conquest of Coruscant, will be compared favorably with the destruction of the Death Stars and Palpatine's death. Yet I feel a greater sense of accomplishment now than I ever have before. We accepted the burden of responsibility thrust upon us and overcame the obstacles in our way. That has always been the Rogue Squadron tradition. But you've added a new meaning to it. You've survived those missions. For that, I'm thankful. Because I did not join Rogue Squadron to lose friends.
Wedge reached down, accepted a tumbler of Corellian whiskey from a serving droid, then raised it high.
To Rogue Squadron, past, present, and future. Those who oppose freedom and liberty oppose us. Let that fact give them pause to think and encouragement to travel the path of peace.
This is Anthony Heald. We hope you have enjoyed this production of The Bacta War by Michael A. Stackpole. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Bob Walter. Abridgment by Trevi Johnson. The Bacta War is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 1997, all rights reserved.